Every time there's an election, Washington voters are faced with a list of candidates for various offices, but they also usually have to decide on initiatives. From as far back as the early 20th century, Washington State has allowed citizens to propose laws for enactment by voters or by the legislature. You're listening to KNKX, and 88.5's Ed Ronco took a look at how initiatives work, and to help explain, he came up with an idea.
Every store in Washington State that sells chocolate chip cookies should also be required to sell ice-cold 2% milk. I feel very strongly about this, so strongly, in fact, that I think it should be law. Washington State lets me, a private citizen, put this directly on the ballot by creating an initiative, the Milk and Cookies Initiative.
The first thing you do is you come down to the Secretary of State's office in Olympia. You put down a $5 fee, and you write your proposed law.
Ralph Monroe was Washington's Secretary of State from 1980 to 2000.
Well, I think first off, people are shocked to know that any citizen can write a law. And I've seen a lot of people write them at the counter.
There are three approaches here. With a referendum, I can take something the legislature has done and send it to the people for approval. That doesn't quite work in this case. With an initiative to the legislature, I can ask lawmakers to vote on the idea. But I think the people should decide whether to make my milk and cookies idea into law. So I'm going with an initiative to the people. I want this to be state law, and to get on the statewide ballot, I need registered voters to sign my petition. How many?
259,622.
Thank you, Secretary Monroe. The law requires signatures from 8% of the people who voted for governor in the last election. And I only have so much time. The rules say I can't start circulating petitions until early January, and I have to turn them in before early July.
That just really is impossible for volunteer groups nowadays.
Todd Donovan is a professor of political science at Western Washington University. He spent a couple decades studying initiatives throughout the United States. We're talking over Skype.
So, like, if you're really serious about the Milk and Cookie Initiative, the way these things seem to go now is you find a billionaire who is keen on the issue that might kick in a couple few hundred thousand dollars to hire a petition management firm.
In other words, paid signature gatherers. Donovan says the idea that it takes a lot of money to sponsor an initiative goes back to days when timber barons and beer wholesalers were trying to shape law back in the early 20th century.
There's always been money. What I guess is what's kind of different now is a lot of this big money isn't necessarily like the industry itself pushing something on the ballot. It's these very wealthy people who are linking up with whoever has an idea.
The other difference, the time period to circulate petitions remains finite, but now you need more signatures. For example, when Ralph Monroe became Secretary of State in the early 80s, you needed only about half the number of signatures you need today. Monroe hates the practice of paying for signatures, by the way, and it's been around for a while. He first noticed it when he was in college in the 1960s, and he saw people being paid a nickel per signature they collected.
By the time I came along as Secretary of State, it was up to about a dollar, and I was furious about it, angry, very angry about it. And we actually passed a law against it. And then we were sued by Sherry Bockwinkel, who was a professional signature gatherer. She's still around someplace. And she sued us, and she won.
It's kind of fun to beat the Secretary of State, somebody as powerful as Ralph Monroe.
And that is Sherry Bockwinkel. She worked full-time to get initiatives on the ballot starting in the early 90s. Today, she still works on initiatives and runs a lamp repair store in Tacoma. She remains supportive of the idea of paid signature gatherers, but says to some extent, the practice has gotten out of hand.
Oh, no, it's not the petitioners. They deserve to be paid. It's hard work. It's when you have an unpopular issue and you're trying to make it look like it's a grassroots-supported issue and you use that process. And people with a lot of money can say, well, and people believe, it's citizen-sponsored initiative. Those words ring bells with voters. So they go, oh, the citizens like it.
Citizen initiatives have been around for a century or so, and if you look at just the initiatives to the people, half of them have been filed since 2002. This means that most initiatives have come since the courts decided paid signature gatherers were okay. Now, this is all starting to sound pretty complicated, so I ask Bockwinkel if an initiative is still the best way to handle my milk and cookies idea.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Just skip the lawmakers altogether. You want to go direct democracy.
They're not going to care about milk and cookies.
No, no. It was kind of like, you know, very interesting you say that. Way back when, in History of Initiatives, they there was one about margarine and having margarine be yellow.
That is a true story, 1952. It repealed an earlier law banning the sale of margarine in the state. So we have what is literally the I can't believe it's not butter law and my milk and cookies initiative, but it is important to recognize that this process deals with some very serious issues, too. Things like recreational marijuana, same-sex marriage, who can access a gun. It's also far from perfect. After voters pass an initiative, lawmakers can find themselves scrambling to figure out how to pay for it. But despite any faults, former Secretary of State Ralph Monroe says it is a worthwhile process.
We are blessed with the type of government we have, and it probably could be used even more as time goes by, as times change and issues change and so forth. I think it's one of those check and balance things that has really helped.
I don't hold high hopes for my milk and cookies initiative. It is just a ridiculous, delicious example used to illustrate a serious process that has shaped the course of Washington state history for more than a century now. Ed Ronco, 88.5 News.
That last story was part of our series, Unpacking Government. You can find the rest of the series at knkx.org.